Stay tuned for one of the most fascinating programs you'll ever hear as we explore the strange and mysterious world of the paranormal and UFOs. Welcome to the Paranet Continuum, a weekly program dealing with extraordinary claims of the paranormal on Earth and beyond. Whether or not you believe in the paranormal, the controversies are real, and this program will try to get to the bottom of it. Your host is Michael Corbin, Director of Paranet Information Services, a global communications network based near Denver, Colorado, dedicated to the investigation of parapsychology, futuristic science, and the UFO enigma. We invite you to keep an open mind as we discuss some of the most fascinating and strange subjects around. Now here's your host, Michael Corbin.
And good evening. Tonight we're going to explore near-death experiences, or better known in the field as NDEs. What are they? We're going to find out tonight. Many people have reported them. Many books have been written about them. My guest tonight is going to discuss his recently published book, Deceived by the Light, a thought-provoking response to near-death experiences, and the mega bestseller, Embraced by the Light. He takes an opposition to other positions about what they are, and he will talk about it tonight on this program. His name is Doug Grotius, and Doug believes it's a mixed phenomena. Some of it may be a soul leaving the body, but he also believes there is deception in the spirit world, and he doesn't buy into the New Age type beliefs, but he thinks they're also illogical and biblical. He says people should not pin their hopes on this type of experience. So we're going to be covering a lot of territory tonight, but first, I got a couple of news items. Last Tuesday morning, we had a spectacular meteor. It was seen streaking through the skies of Colorado, as well as states as far south as Texas. Let me tell you, what an event. And of course, quite timely considering the topic of last week's programs, where we're talking about Hale Bopp, that comet that is streaking toward the Earth, and the possibility of whether or not something could hit the Earth. I guess what they call near-Earth asteroids. You're getting too many of these N things, like NEA, near-Earth asteroids, and all that. But anyway, this meteor was big, and it lit up the sky around here as if it were daylight. And I also understand that a 7-Eleven surveillance camera caught the action, and it was aired in the Denver area from Colorado Springs. I guess in Colorado Springs it was quite visible. I got an article here. I'm going to read a little bit from it, but it's from the Rocky Mountain News. It says Jim Elliott was delivering newspapers early Tuesday near Monument Hill, an area south of Denver between Denver and Colorado Springs, when he saw a big blue ball streak across the sky. It took the dark away from the night, he said. I think that's the closest to God that I've ever been. What Elliott and other night owls witnessed at 2:30 a.m. probably was a meteor. The burning of the meteoroid as it entered the atmosphere produced a brilliant display for about 4 seconds. The meteoroid exploded in two stages, probably over the foothills between Colorado Springs and Pueblo, and it generated at least one sonic boom, possibly two, that rattled windows and jolted people awake. It was a meteor, there's no doubt about that, said Paul Van Slyke, director of the Black Forest Observatory near Colorado Springs. Sky watchers routinely reported unidentified flying objects, but few amount to much. This time, planetariums and university astronomy departments were flooded with calls from Texas to Cheyenne, Wyoming. The more credible reports, besides Elliott's, scientists say, were from an El Paso County sheriff's deputy patrolling near Fort Carson and a casino worker in Black Hawk, Colorado. Now, when it starts waking people up, we take it seriously, said geologist Jack Murphy of the Denver Museum of Natural History. The last event to cause this much commotion was in 1973 with the one that went through a garage in Canyon City, he said. That didn't shake up the neighborhood nearly as much as this one. The Canyon City meteorite was easy to find. Researchers peered through the hole it made in the garage roof to find that it had pulverized. Murphy and others are plotting reports on a map to determine the trajectory and possible impact sites. By Tuesday evening, no meteorite pieces had turned up. Researchers are divided over the chances of finding meteorite material. The meteoroid entered the atmosphere at high speed and exploded. If any pieces survived, they probably landed dozens of miles to the east. And that's the end of that article. It's really interesting, I thought. So if you were jolted awake last Tuesday morning, 2:30 in the morning, that's what it was. Also, I want to announce, too, that our radio program is now on the Internet. If you've missed previous shows or would like to hear one that particularly caught your interest, here's how you can access it using your Internet provider, a web browser, and also your multimedia sound card. The way that you do this is quite interesting. I was just playing with this prior to going on air. It's via Taylor Satellite Talk Radio, and apparently this Taylor Satellite Talk Radio has taken a lot of radio programs, and they have 2,000 hours worth right now, and they're building more. But anyway, they take our program off satellite, and translated digitally, and you can actually sit there with your computer and your sound card, and you can listen to these programs. If you want information on how to do this, you can contact Taylor Satellite Talk Radio at 1-800-556-6432. That's 1-800-558-6432. Or you can write to them over internet at info@tstradio.com. That's info@tstradio.com. It's quite an interesting thing. Like I said, if you want information on that, give them a call and they'll get you hooked up with that. Also, December the 15th in Denver, and this is an announcement for Richard Hoagland. If you've been following the Richard Hoagland Face on Mars and now the surprising revelations of alleged structures on the moon, Richard Hoagland is going to be in the Denver area, on Denver and Boulder, actually, on Friday, December the 15th from 7 to 10 p.m. He's going to be at the Boulder Public Library Auditorium. Tickets are $10. If you're interested in attending this, of course, those of you out there listening to this program are going to have to fly in to see this, but if you're interested in further information or reservations, I'm going to give you a number here you can call to get information, further information about this. You can contact Edie at Integrity. That phone number is area code 970-686-9558. Again, that's 970-686-9558. And that's how you can find out about Richard Hoagland on December the 15th. I'm not quite sure what I believe on this. I think the Face on Mars is interesting, but I think he's stretching it a little bit on the moon stuff because I haven't seen any convincing evidence, although I've seen something in that picture that he's talking about that looks interesting and probably warrants further study. Okay, we're going to get to my guest. Again, my guest is Doug Groteis. He has written a book called Deceived by the Light. It's a thought-provoking response to near-death experiences and the mega bestseller Embraced by the Light. With that, I want to welcome Doug to the program. Good evening, Doug.
Hi, it's good to be with you.
Thanks for being on the program. Now, unfortunately, I don't know myself a whole lot about near-death experiences, so I'm going to ask you the first question before we go to break. Sum up what a near-death experience is for us.
Well, they actually vary quite a bit, but ever since Moody's book in 1975, Life After Life, people have talked about surviving clinical death and reporting the experiences that they've had. Typically, people talk about leaving their body, going through a long tunnel, seeing spiritual beings, and then encountering a light or a being of light. They also talk about a review of their life. And usually when people come back from these, they are significantly transformed in one way or another. So when I talk about clinical death, I don't mean the same as biological death, but I mean the temporary stoppage of vital biological functions like breathing, heartbeat, possibly brain waves, although that's a little more controversial. And people say that they continue to have awareness during this time. And so people come back having been resuscitated and explain these pretty amazing experiences to people.
Okay. All right, we're going to cover that when we come back from break and get into the book here. It's a very interesting book, Deceived by the Light. My guest again is Doug Groteis, author of Deceived by the Light. We're going to cover this, near-death experiences. And if you have any questions for our guest, you can contact us toll-free at 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-836-2009. I'm Michael Corbin, and you're listening to the Paranet Continuum. We'll be right back. Alien Grays makes t-shirts and sweatshirts for the UFO enthusiast, and they're some of the best artwork you've ever seen on a t-shirt. Alien Grays has over 15 designs, including the well-known gray alien head with almond-shaped black eyes, X-Files and Star Trek shirts, Fire in the Sky, and other dazzling alien life forms and space art. All t-shirts are blazing, full-color, laser-printed onto 100% pre-shrunk white cotton tees. People will notice these shirts when you wear them. To order a catalog or a shirt, call this number toll-free during the week. It's 1-800-561-7775. That's 1-800-561-7775. Now, as we've done before, I'm going to give away a free t-shirt from Alien Grace to the ninth caller right now who calls us at 1-800-836-2009. That's 1-800-836-2009. That's the ninth caller. And for those of you listening to this program late at night or early in the morning on tape delay, send us a postcard with your name and address, and we'll draw one postcard per week. Write to Paranet T-Shirt Giveaway, Post Office Box 172, Wheat Ridge, Colorado, 80034. That's Paranet Giveaway T-Shirt Giveaway, Post Office Box 172, Wheat Ridge, Colorado, 80034.
It's been said that the pen is mightier than the sword. With Paranet, the computer and modem is mightier than the pen. Paranet is the world's foremost electronic authority on UFOs and the paranormal. Paranet gives you rapid access to UFO researchers and others like you who want to know what's going on. You'll find stimulating discussions with an interactive link to the world through the Internet's information superhighway. There's a variety of departments dealing with paranormal activities, parapsychology, alien abduction research, conspiracy theories and government cover-ups, and cutting-edge science. There's even a skeptics conference. Paranet also has the world's most comprehensive database of news articles, sighting reports, and much more available for a small fee. So plug into power and knowledge with Paranet. Call the data line at 303-863-0469. That's 303-863-0469. Or for more information, contact Paranet at 303-863-0484. Some of the things you'll hear on this program are simply unbelievable, but what if they're for real? Keep an open mind and stay tuned to the Paranet Continuum with your host, Michael Corbin.
And please welcome back my guest, Doug Groteis, author of Deceived by the Light. We're talking about near-death experiences, and this book is particularly focusing on a response to experiences that have been described by a mega bestseller book called Embraced by the Light. Welcome back, Doug.
Thanks.
Now, let's get right down to it. The book itself, what is the book about?
Well, my book is a critique of the near-death experience. I should say near-death experiences because they vary pretty significantly. But as I said before, ever since Raymond Moody's book, Life After Life, of 1975, the category of a near-death experience, or NDE, has been a culturally available one. People typically, or often that is, report after clinical death of having some kind of experience. And my book starts out by dealing with a very influential report, which is one of the most detailed accounts, a book called Embraced by the Light by Betty J. Eady. And I take a look at that book. I analyze it in various ways. Mrs. Eady dedicates the book to, as she puts it, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And she claims that she encountered Christ as a being of light in her near-death experience. So I look at that and I compare what she says about Christ and the afterlife and other doctrines with what the Bible says, what the Scriptures say. And then I also look at the near-death experiences in general of the various major researchers like Raymond Moody, Kenneth Ring, Melvin Morse, and others. And basically what I'm giving is a counter perspective to much of what's out there. Usually you have two basic categories. One category is the debunker, the hardcore skeptic who says there is no soul, there is no paranormal. These people can't be having real experiences outside of their bodies because there's nothing to us except our bodies. And so you have books like Dying to Live by Susan Blackmore, who does not believe in the spiritual realm at all. On the other hand, you have people like Kenneth Ring and Melvin Morse and Raymond Moody and others, Atwater, who definitely believe in a spiritual world, but their belief is a very New Age kind of perspective. It's not a Judeo-Christian understanding of God and humanity and the afterlife. It's rather the view that everything is divine, and these experiences are ways that people end up understanding their own deity and their own unlimited potential. So I'm in neither one of those categories. I'm skeptical about many of the reports that are made in near-death experiences, but I don't doubt that near-death experiences are at least sometimes real experiences of people outside of their bodies.
Okay, so would this be kind of like the traditional discussion of an out-of-body experience? What do we know medically or scientifically about death experiences like this?
Well, we do know that there are recorded cases of people who clinically die who give reports of what happens to them during that time. Now, some people have tried to explain this as some kind of a hallucination, possibly induced by drugs or by some emergency reaction in the brain. Now, maybe you can explain some of them that way. I think you can. But Michael Sabom has done some very interesting work on this. He wrote a book called Recollections of Death, came out in 1982, which I refer to quite a bit. And he gives accounts of where people describe in great detail what is going on in the room where they are clinically dead. Sometimes they describe the methods of resuscitation. Sometimes they even speak of what's going on in other locations in the hospital or something like that. And he checked this out very thoroughly. And the only way that he could explain this was on the basis of their souls leaving their bodies and observing these things from an elevation of maybe 10 to 15 feet. So I think there's some pretty good evidence that at least in some cases, you have a legitimate experience of the soul outside of the body. However, Sabom goes on to point out that the rest of the experiences, that is, when people talk about seeing departed relatives, encountering a being of light, and so on, you can't check that out in the same way that you could check out what they report going on in the circumstances of their clinically dead bodies. That kind of discernment requires a more philosophical and theological kind of approach, which I try to give in the book.
Okay, now let's take it from the top then, I guess. If we're talking about different camps, let's say the New Age camp versus the Judeo-Christian camp, and the humanists being the ones that say we don't have a soul or we don't have a spiritual realization or reality, how are we going to get around to this to actually, I mean, I will admit, I've known some one person who had an accident, a very bad flying accident, and described this type of a thing and described a journey that he took and then came back. But when I heard that story, I don't know, you know, myself what I can believe, because it sounds like a fantastic story, but yet I know that there are people that describe certain procedures that they observe and things like that. When we're talking about this, has there been any kind of medical research, scientific research, let's start on that level, to basically validate these claims?
Well, I would again point out the work that Michael Sabom did, which I think is pretty convincing. And more recently, there's a writer named Melvin Morse, who is a pediatrician, who has studied near-death experiences primarily in children. He has a book called Closer to the Light. He has another book called Transformed by the Light. And he's trying to look at a broad variety of cases, looking at the experiences and trying to explain the experiences. Now, Melvin Morse has more of a New Age perspective, theologically, than Sabom, who really remains pretty neutral about what is going on and what the spiritual implications are. Certainly, these experiences are subjectively very real to people. They're oftentimes transformative. They may be pivotal in their lives.
When you say transformative?
Well, people come back oftentimes claiming to have increased psychic abilities. They come back sometimes with an altered world view. They maybe lose their fear of death in some cases. So the deeper question is not, do they think it's real? I think they do. There may be some charlatans out there that are making up stories, but I think that's probably a pretty small percentage. But the deeper question is it objectively true? That is, are these people speaking truth about the nature of the afterlife? And I think that's a very crucial question, because we're all going to face the afterlife, and I think we better be prepared for it.
Okay, and I think we're going to cover that in the next segment after the break. But real quick, has there been any type of, let's say, hooking up people to machinery and, you know, measuring instruments and things like that? I mean, we know what clinical death is, how it's defined. The heart stops, the brain functions cease. Is this the point at which these experiences occur?
Yes, it would happen during clinical death. Now, part of the problem is that unlike some movie renditions, you can't just do this and then experiment on it. The people are trying to save lives in these cases, so they're not going to be doing experiments to register a brainwave activity or something like that. Maybe there are ways of determining that, but you don't kill somebody and then test them to see what's going on and then try to bring them back to life.
Like in the movie Flatliners.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of, Flatliners.
Yeah.
That's totally unethical. So there's a lot of surmising, there's a lot of guesswork that goes on here in these cases, certainly.
Okay. All right, hold that. We'll come back from break, and we'll get into, I guess, more of the philosophical, theological aspect of this and try to find out what's going on. Interesting subject, near-death experiences. My guest is Doug Groteis, author of Deceived by the Light. He's also written other books, Unmasking the New Age and Christianity That Counts. He's a PhD and an assistant professor of philosophy and religion and ethics at Denver Seminary. So we'll get back to that. 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-836-2009. You're listening to the Paranet Continuum.
There are many magazines about UFOs. Continuum is different. Continuum is the official quarterly publication of Paranet and MICAP, and is the outgrowth of Paranet's worldwide communications network on paranormal phenomena. It's in-depth, challenging, and above all, fascinating. It takes a straight-ahead, no-nonsense look at UFOs, worldwide sighting reports, parapsychology, abduction phenomena, futuristic science, and much, much more. You can get Continuum for just $18 a year. Continuum is also available by fax for a small additional fee. Be informed. Call now and subscribe to Continuum. Call 1-800-UFO-NET-1. That's 1-800-836-6381. Continuum, published by Paranet Information Services and MICAP. Order yours today at 1-800-UFO-NET-1. Continuum, one of the most fascinating magazines you'll ever read.
Grab a pen and get ready to copy down a computer address. It's an email address where you can reach the Paranet Information Services BBS through America Online. With America Online's Internet Gateway, you can send us mail and we can respond to you personally through your America Online screen name. With America Online's Usenet Newsgroup tie-in, you can also access the 7 Paranet newsgroups dealing with UFOs, metaphysics, paranormal activity, and others. Learn about our upcoming shows and pose questions in advance. And if your question is selected, you'll get a free cassette copy of the show. You'll also find summaries of past shows. If you're not already a customer of America Online, call 1-800-827-6364 for more information. Now, here's that email address to reach us. It's paranet@aol.com or paranet@paranet.org. America Online and Paranet, a winning combination.
mystery of UFOs, strange lights in the sky, crashed saucers, alien abductions, secret military projects, government cover-ups, hoaxes, and frauds. We cover it all on the Paranet Continuum. Now back to your host, Michael Corbin.
1-800-836-2009, 1-800-836-2009. My guest is Doug Groteis. Deceived by the Light is the name of the book. It's on the Harvest House label. And we're talking about near-death experiences, and I'm inviting you to call us if you have an opposing viewpoint or if you have an experience yourself you'd like to relate to Doug. Give us a call. Again, it's toll-free, 1-800-836-2009, and the lines are now open for your call. Doug, I wanted to mention, too, before we went to break, we were talking about the ethics about hooking up machinery and everything. I don't know if you saw this or not, but in today's Rocky Mountain News, I understand that there was an article about Timothy Leary, who I think everyone knows is dying of prostate cancer. And I guess Leary is going to have himself hooked up and certain measurements taken when he as he dies.
Yes, I just read that this afternoon. He seems to have a rather whimsical, lighthearted view of his own death.
Yeah.
At least that's the facade he's presenting anyway.
Yeah, just another one of those experiences that he's had.
I take it that he thinks that he's transcended the concerns of most people through his repeated LSD trips, but I'm hoping that eventually he will come around and realize that he's going to face some pretty serious business on the other side, and the number of LSD trips he's taken won't really do him a whole lot of good.
Okay, all right. Now, let's go into this, the spiritual or the philosophical and theological aspect of death. Hmm. I know death is not a very pleasant topic or discussion because a lot of people, all of us will have to eventually go through it, I realize that, but, you know, why are we so afraid to die?
Well, I think ever since, throughout all of history, no matter how far down you go in archaeology, cultures have tried to deal with death in one way or the other. They've tried to understand it. They viewed it as an enemy, a threat, something that has to be overcome in one way or the other. And I think this shows that no one is really at peace with death, ultimately. It's a sign of our limitation. It's a sign of our lack of power, lack of ability. And the thing that I'm concerned about with these near-death experiences, or at least with many of them, is that people are claiming that the other side is perfectly wonderful for everyone, and there's absolutely nothing to fear. But what I found in my research is that many people do not have pleasant experiences at all. I have a chapter called Near Hell Experiences. There are people that feel hopeless. They feel that they are descending into an abyss. They talk about being attacked by vicious spiritual beings and so on, and they're very happy to come out of it. People that have the more pleasant experiences talk about regret over having to come back to this miserable earth after what they've experienced. So my concern is that people may be getting some false comfort about the nature of what happens after death, and I think we need to make some distinctions here. First of all, these are near-death experiences. These people have not been biologically dead. That is, you don't have the total shutdown of the human organism and then a miraculous restarting of it. What you have is a intermediary situation where people have enough residual life in their bodies such that they can be resuscitated. And more people are resuscitated now with modern technology than ever have been before. I think that's why we're getting so many of these reports. But these are not people who have biologically died, let's say, for several days.
And then come back.
And come back in a resurrected, reconstituted body.
And, of course, there's no one that has ever done that, like you said.
Well, I can think of one person that quite a few people in the world worship who has done that, in terms of Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Christ is a very well-established historical fact if you look into it. And I don't see anyone on the present-day scene, which is what I think you were referring to, who can match those credentials at all.
Now, the interesting thing is that, you know, I myself, I hear what you're saying. We're being, and I see this in all aspects of this subject that we pursue on this program. There seems to be a lot of hype, and I call it hype because it's basically a lot of literature that comes out that tries to get us to feel cozy and comfy with a lot of different realities that are, in fact, in my research, like, for example, the abduction phenomena in UFO research, people are truly traumatized by this, and it's not quite as love and light as some of these people that write these books would have us to believe. So what you're saying is that you're seeing this on the near-death front as well.
Well, yes, the experiences are quite varied. Now, there are some structural commonalities. That is, people talk about leaving their body, going through a tunnel, seeing a light, having a life review, things like that. Those are common to many of them, although you do have this whole class of very negative experiences that I touched on. But what I'm interested, too, in as a philosopher is the world views, the views of life that come out of these experiences. In many cases, people come away from this with a very New Age kind of Pollyanna view. They realize that everything is divine, that they are one with the divine, therefore they don't have to fear death. In fact, Kenneth Ring, who I'm sure you're familiar with, reports one case of a woman who had a near-death experience, and in the middle of it she said, "This is so wonderful, what about my sin?" It's a pretty astute theological question, that is, should I be here?
Yeah.
And some entity supposedly told her, "There is no sin." Now, this really flies in the face of the biblical understanding that all human beings have fallen short of the goodness and glory of an infinitely holy God, and that on our own, we're not worthy candidates for paradise. That is, we need external help. We need to be forgiven. We need to be made right with God through the crucified and resurrected Christ. So you have those New Age kind of encounters. You do have some encounters that ring true with what the scripture says, and I give a few examples of those. You have some people that have these very bizarre experiences, and they come back still being atheists. They said, "Something bizarre happened. I can't figure it out. I'll never forget it, but I still don't believe in God." You have some people coming back, like Betty Eady, whose worldview is a strange combination of Mormonism and New Age thought, that uses Christian terminology but is not recognizably Christian at all. So when I see all these discrepant accounts coming out of various near-death experiences, I say, I think we need a better source of knowledge than this. And the source of knowledge that I use to interpret the phenomena is the scripture.
Okay, now let me ask you this, this question. Given that you're operating from the Christian perspective, what's to say, though? What is the argument against, say, a New Ager saying, "Well, you know, how do you know that yours is the right one and ours isn't?" Considering the fact that you have several different people who are in different philosophical or theological places experiencing this and all coming back with different stories or different variations on it. What is the argument for that?
Well, there's a whole family of arguments. I've written actually three other books critiquing the New Age movement, so it's a little hard to know where to start. But in my book, Deceived by the Light, I give a pretty basic argument. And the first point is, these experiences contradict each other, therefore we need another frame of reference by which to understand them.
Okay, and let me interrupt you there. Just hold the other two there until we come back from break, okay?
Sure.
And we'll get back to that. 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-836-2009. We're talking about near-death experiences, quite an interesting subject, and I'm myself getting an education because I haven't had much experience with this, but give us a call. Doug Groteis is my guest. We're talking about his book, Deceived by the Light. If you have an opposing viewpoint or you want to, you know, just relate your experience, give us a call. It's toll-free, 1-800-836-2009. Stand by for a T-shirt giveaway, and we'll be right back after this. I'm Michael Corbin, and you're listening to the Paranet Continuum.
Pilots depend on accurate, timely information, both in the cockpit and on the ground. Skyway Publications helps with both. The Skyway Airport Directory and Entertainment Guide provides convenient, accurate information for safe flight and landing operations, as well as local businesses that cater to pilots. These are free, pocket-sized guides with information on large and small airports nationwide, along with technical information, fuel and airport services, and businesses that can make life easier for pilots. Keep in mind, it's free. Check your local airport for the Skyway Publications Airport Directory and Entertainment Guide, or call area 970-669-1800. Call Skyway today and find out how the guide can also be a financial opportunity for you. Skyway Publications, your ticket to safer, cheaper, and more convenient flight. Check your local airport or call Skyway at 970-669-1800.
Alien Grays makes t-shirts and sweatshirts for the UFO enthusiast, and they're some of the best artwork you've ever seen on a t-shirt. Alien Grays has over 15 designs, including the well-known gray alien head with almond-shaped black eyes, X-Files and Star Trek shirts, Fire in the Sky, and other dazzling life forms and space art. All t-shirts are blazing full-colored laser-printed onto 100% pre-shrunk white cotton tees. People will notice these shirts when you wear them. Now, to order a t-shirt or a catalog, call this toll-free number, 1-800-561-7775. That's 1-800-561-7775. And as we've done before, I'm going to give away a free t-shirt from Alien Grays and Paranet to the fifth caller right now who calls us at 1-800-836-2009. That's 1-800-836-2009. That's caller number five, a free t-shirt from Alien Grays and Paranet. You're listening to the Paranet Continuum. Whether or not you believe in the paranormal, there's a lot on the subject you haven't heard. Stay tuned, keep an open mind, and call in. Once again, here's your host, Michael Corbin.
Welcome back, my guest, Doug Grotius. And Doug, when we went to break, we were talking about the arguments, and you were going to name, I think it was 3 points. Reiterate the first one, and let's go into that.
Right. Well, the basic structure of my book is to look at these various near-death experiences, to look at how people interpret them, and then to consider the various worldviews or philosophies of life that come out of these experiences. And I've identified the New Age worldview, in some cases a Christian worldview, in some cases a Mormonish kind of worldview, in some cases people come back as atheists. So I look at the phenomena and I say, I think there is ample evidence that the soul at least temporarily leaves the body. So I think that gives us some evidence that we have some hope that the end of the body is not the end of us. But beyond that, you have a lot of disagreement in the accounts. And one of the things that I do in the book is say, well, we need a broader frame of reference by which to interpret this. And what I do is give an argument for the resurrection of Christ. I talk about the teachings of Christ, who he claimed to be, the way, the truth, and the life, and so on. And then I give a brief argument, a historical argument, that the resurrection of Christ is really the only way to explain the origin and the growth and the courage of the Christian church. I talk about the fact that there was an empty tomb, that Christ appeared to many different people at many places, and these are recorded in the New Testament documents, which were written very quickly after the events by eyewitnesses or people that consulted eyewitnesses. And it would have been very easy to refute Christianity. All that you would have to do is produce the corpse of Christ. And the Jewish authorities would have had the desire to do that, to quell this cult as they viewed it. And the Roman authorities would have had that desire also, because they would be worried about it, maybe an insurrection by a new revolutionary group or something like that. So my perspective on it is, if we have someone who literally died, biologically died, was buried, the tomb was guarded, was sealed by a huge stone, and then this being, Christ, appears to people in a resurrected body over a period of 40 days and launches a new religious movement that turns the world upside down, I think he's a good authority on these matters. In fact, I think he's the best and the supreme authority on these matters. So I'm not saying, hey, come on with me, take a blind leap of faith in the dark and be a Christian. I've got a PhD in philosophy. I don't work that way. I think there are good reasons to believe that the Christian analysis of life after death is sound, makes sense, gives meaning to life, and I think there are a lot of good reasons to question many of the reports that are coming out of the near-death experiences.
Okay, I think that's a very good explanation, too, and I tend to agree with you. Let me ask you this. The title of the book says deceived. Who's being deceived? I mean, who is the who?
Well, I think people are deceived if they are trusting in anyone except the resurrected Christ for their place in the afterlife. I'm concerned about people having a false sense of confidence, a false sense of security. And I give a story in the book of a young woman named Allison Bierma, who is an 18-year-old girl, very bright, very attractive, very popular, who read this book by Betty Eady, Embraced by the Light, and she had some very traumatic experiences. Her boyfriend committed suicide. Some people in the audience may remember her. She was missing for several weeks, and they found her body in Rocky Mountain National Park. She had committed suicide. And I have seen a copy of her suicide note, and I repeat several sentences and summarize that note in my book. She was significantly influenced to commit suicide through reading this book, Embraced by the Light, because she thought that the afterlife was wonderful for everyone. There was no possibility of punishment, of hell, that it was her choice to end her life if she wished. And I think those kind of teachings are very dangerous. Now, I have to admit that Betty Eady says in her book, don't commit suicide. However, the way she explains the afterlife and the way she views life in general is so Pollyanna, is so lacking a sense of reality, that I think it could induce someone in a crisis situation to say, hey, why not? I just want to go directly to this great being of light and everything will work out great in the end.
That's a very interesting story. I remember that case you're talking about, too. Kind of plug this into myself, you know, personally. I've been outspoken on this program, especially against the New Age movement, as it fits into the whole subject of UFOs. Like,
right.
Personally, I believe that there's a phenomena going on, that there's something happening out there. And I'm not, you know, I'm a skeptical believer. That's what I classify myself as. But I also see a lot of deception on the part of, you know, supposedly the beings that are involved in the UFO phenomena. And, you know, I have to agree with you. There seems to be it's a transformative experience for these people, and it seems like they change, and it seems like they lose touch with reality and things that go on around them. The question I have for you, you know, on this subject of deception, for what you've seen, and I guess probably in some ways you've already answered this, but I'm going to put the question to you anyway just to get it clarified again. Do you think that this is misinterpretation or hope instead of deception? Is that a possibility?
Well, as I said, I think that many of these people do have a spiritual experience after clinical death, but that in and of itself does not validate everything that they say. Because we have experiences in everyday life of people who are imposters, who are deceivers.
Do you have any kind of like a telltale or a kind of a thing where you say, okay, this is what I look for, and these are the things, like if I'm being asked to maybe change my worldview, what are the things that you look for?
Well, the crucial thing is how they identify this light or this being of light, and what kind of a perspective on life they have after the experience. Now, I have a few cases that I've found where people have had experiences that really seem to have jolted them into an awareness of what the gospel message is, and they have come to Christ by faith for salvation. I give one account of a man who was being treated for a venereal disease, and he clinically died for a short period of time, and he saw this all-powerful being who said, it's not time for you to die. You haven't glorified my Heavenly Father. Go back to earth and glorify Him. And this man did come back, and he became a Christian. Now, that rings true, to my understanding, of the Scripture, but there are many other cases, like such with Betty Eady. She says she encountered Jesus Christ, but she says any number of unbiblical things about this Christ. She never mentions His death on the cross or His resurrection from the dead. She talks about the pre-existence of the soul, which is a Mormon and a Gnostic teaching, a New Age teaching, not a biblical teaching. She doesn't even really believe that human beings are deeply affected by sin, which is a teaching throughout the scripture. She thinks it's more a case of ignorance. We're sort of not aware of how natural laws really work. And that's a very much New Age kind of perspective, not a biblical perspective. So I really look at the theology or the spiritual worldview that emerges from these experiences as to the real key as to what's going on here.
Okay. Hold that. We got to do another break. 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-836-2009. My guest is Doug Groteis. We're talking about near-death experiences in his book, Deceived by the Light. This is a thought-provoking response to near-death experiences and the mega bestseller, Embraced by the Light. And we're talking about this very interesting subject, so stay tuned. We'll be right back. I'm Michael Corbin, and you're listening to the Paranet Continuum.
There are many magazines about UFOs. Continuum is different. Continuum is the official quarterly publication of Paranet and MICAP, and is the outgrowth of Paranet's worldwide communications network on paranormal phenomena. It's in-depth, challenging, and above all, fascinating. It takes a straight-ahead, no-nonsense look at UFOs, worldwide sighting reports, parapsychology, abduction phenomena, futuristic science, and much, much more. You can get Continuum for just $18 a year. Continuum is also available by fax for a small additional fee. Be informed. Call now and subscribe to Continuum. Call 1-800-UFO-NET-1. That's 1-800-836-6381. Continuum, published by Paranet Information Services and MICAP. Order yours today at 1-800-UFO-NET-1. Continuum, one of the most fascinating magazines you'll ever read.
Paranet and MICAP, the multinational investigations cooperative on aerial phenomena, gives you a chance to hear and read more about UFOs and the paranormal. Catch up on our previous Paranet radio shows with cassette tapes you can order for $8 each, or two tapes for $6 each, three or more at $5 each. Become a member of Paranet and subscribe to Continuum, Paranet's quarterly magazine. And don't forget our stunning black t-shirt with a background of galaxies, stars, and comets, the Paranet and MICAP logos, and a beautiful blue-green planet Earth. When you order from Paranet, you're helping to support this program. Call now for more information or to order your tapes, Continuum subscriptions, or t-shirts at 1-800-UFO-NET-1. That's 1-800-836-6381. Paranet, your window on the universe at 1-800-UFO-NET-1.
Of the paranormal, UFOs, future science, parapsychology, angelic phenomena, ghosts, secret projects, government cover-ups, hoaxes, and frauds. We cover it all on the Paranet Continuum. Now back to your host, Michael Corbin.
We're going to have to add near-death experiences to that now. Doug, thank you very much for the program, for being on the program. Before I got one last question for you, but before I got to do that, I got to draw a t-shirt giveaway here. And here it is. This week's t-shirt is going to Chuck Mattingly in Greeley, Colorado, who is listening on KHOW. And Chuck, you'll get a t-shirt in the mail, and thank you very much for sending in your card. Doug, the last word tonight on the program about this near-death experience stuff, I'm curious to ask you this. What part are you playing as far as trying to get a research cooperative going to maybe go into this a little bit deeper?
Well, I guess no part. I mean, I've done a lot of research on my own. I've looked at the pretty vast literature on this subject, and I've come up with my conclusions, put them in the book. I've done a lot of radio programs and speaking on this matter. I'm not really pursuing a further scientific study of it, although books continue to come out, some a lot better than others. I think Michael Sabon is supposed to be coming out with another book, which I'm looking forward to because I think he is really one of the better researchers on this subject.
Michael Sabon?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any more books planned in the future for this?
Well, probably not on this topic. I have a lot of other books I will be working on. I've got a booklet I'm working on now on the subject of comparative religions, or all religions one, which I answer no and try to give some reasons for that. But I will probably continue to do research in this area of the paranormal and conflicting worldviews and trying to apply a Christian worldview to these kind of fascinating topics that come up.
Well, I want to thank you very much. Again, the book is very interesting, and it's called Deceived by the Light. It's published by Harvest House Publishers. And why don't you give us information, Doug, as to how they can get a copy of this book? I know it's in some Christian bookstores and tattered cover here in the Denver area. Is there like an 800 number or something they can call to order this book?
Well, you know, there may be, but I'm not entirely sure what it is, and so I don't want to give out the wrong one. But really, it should be available in most bookstores, not just Christian bookstores. I've seen it in Barnes & Noble,
okay.
Tattered Cover, etc.
Very good. Doug, thank you very much for being on the program, and thank you for sharing with us these exciting research into near-death experiences.
Well, thanks, Michael. I've enjoyed it.
Okay. All right. That wraps up another program for tonight, and I want to thank you for joining us. Also, I want to make a note here that we've been getting calls from people wanting to know how they can fax their comments and things like that to us. I'm going to give you an 800 number to do it to, and this is the number. There's actually two of them, so take these down. You can send us a fax at 1-800-387-2001. That's 1-800-387-2001 or 1-800-836-6381. That's 1-800-836-6381. You can fax your comments and whatever to us there, and we do read them. And if you want to send email to me, you can reach me at mcorbin, M-C-O-R-B-I-N, boulder.earthnet.net. That's mcorbin@boulder.earthnet.net. And again, it's been a really interesting program. I want to thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next week. Until then, I'm Michael Corbin telling you to keep your eyes on the skies. Good night.